Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 82, Text 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shishuka Uvacha. Gopyascha Krishnam Upalabhya Charadabhishtam Yat Prekshane Shishu Pakshma Kritam Shapanti Vibhiridhi Katamalam Parirabdha Sarvat Katpavam Apva Apinitya Yujam Narapam. Sukadeva Goswami said, while gazing at their beloved Krishna, the young gopis used to condemn the creator of their eyelids, which would momentarily block their vision of him. Now seeing Krishna again after such a long separation, with their eyes they took him into their hearts and they embraced him to their full satisfaction. In this way, they became totally absorbed in ecstatic meditation on him. Although those who constantly practice mystic yoga find such absorption difficult to achieve. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Daksu Imlatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Chaitanya Manobhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Vipashindu Bhayevacha Vita Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Sri Overdon Hill. I'm at my place. It's really the only place that, I guess, quote, is technically mine. At least for life. I don't own the place. And I was just thinking, some people visited me today. It's like a place where I myself, uncharacteristic of myself, really set it up to facilitate my devotional needs. And it shows you, you know, the relationship of environment and consciousness. Your place reflects your desires. And that's what Vrindavan means. It's a place that reflects God's desires. And what's God's desires is to enjoy the highest happiness. And what's the highest happiness? It's the highest love. And that, in one sense, is also our highest happiness, and to some extent, our own places should practically reflect that. At least we should have a place for God in our house, which is exclusive for His service, and therefore, most suitable for our own innermost need, which is to love God.
Prema Pramartha Mahan, that's actually a thing that has the greatest value. So I'm kind of happy in this quiet place with the cow dung walls. Spacious, simple, and organized around my own personal spiritual practices, especially in Govardhan. I come for the month of Kartik. Bhakti Janani, Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani, the days of Lord Hari, the months of Lord Hari, the month of Sri Radha. It gives birth to devotion, and it actually works. Because as Prabhupada said, Krishna is responsive. God doesn't have the defect of impersonality. And therefore, he's controlled by love, but not forced by love. Inspired by love, and he's inspired to reciprocate with us, and that is the power of bhakti. The power of bhakti is that our object of meditation is not a prop, it is God, it is alive, it can reciprocate with our efforts, and therefore bhakti is the path of grace, because you can get so much more in bhakti than you and the results limited to your own effort, no matter how determined that effort is. And in that regard, I was just in Mayapur. I talked about it last Wednesday, but not only a few of you are on that group also, but it's Odarya Dham. It's the place of magnanimity. And I felt it. I felt that reciprocation. In the appearance of the holy name in my chanting, hundreds of times greater than I normally do, without that level of mercy. It comes easily. It comes clearly. The Loka Prema Dhan, Haris Nam Sankirtan, it's descending. By Kripa, by mercy, by one who attracts that mercy, by some effort to move towards God and express our dependence and need for that mercy. And that's the path of bhakti. And especially, it's so sweet. And I'm feeling the sweetness here, the Madhurya in Vrindavan, the Odarya, the magnanimity. It's so magnanimous. But we went out. We went out every day at 7 o'clock, and it was a small group of highly qualified Vaishnavas. Highly qualified. Humbled to be in that association with Anjan Swami, Devamrita Swami, Achyuta Priya, I met him for the first time. He's the head of the Yatra in Ukraine, which is probably one of the most successful in the world. And he's been doing it since time immemorial, as I don't know, probably 78, 80, whatever. And a devotee named Madan Mohan is probably a real fine Brahmachari, Sanskrit scholar, and heads up the affairs of the government and dealing with all that stuff. Anyway, we went out and we just absorbed ourselves in one or two places every day with bhajans, which encapsulate the mood of the place with the very stories from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to the Chaitanya Bhagavata that these places exemplify. This was basically and chanting Hare Krishna. And this creates rasa. It creates love. It brings out that inclination in the heart. That's what bhakti is. Bhakti is that inclination in the heart to serve God. And when that inclination in the heart awakens, everything becomes easy because you're doing what you are inclined for. And then chanting becomes easy, and reading becomes easy.
And even the reading takes on a different mellow. It's not an intellectual exercise as much as it is an inspiration for your love of Krishna by hearing the glories of Krishna and hearing the expressions and feelings and mood of love for Krishna. And doing it through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is especially relishable. So it was absorption. It wasn't time. There's no lamentation thinking about the past. There's no anxiety thinking about the future. We were in the now. Will you transcend time? Time's relative. You start, you become absorbed. It's your rabbit hole, Alice in Wonderland moment. Anyway, it was very, very wonderful. And that's bhakti. Krishna is responsive. So, and therefore in this verse, when it describes what's happening here, the gopis are meeting Krishna after such a long time, and they're looking at him. And of course, we discussed this before. I think this verse we did the last night, but it's worth it to go over again. They're looking at Krishna, their beloved. And they condemn their eyelids because there is rasa. It is the supreme pleasure. It is the essence of God's bliss potency. That means it's the best bliss. It's the highest bliss. And that they're condemning the Creator. So what does this mean? They're so focused on Krishna. And not only they're focused on Krishna, but their desire to be focused on the object of their meditation is so strong that they're cursing the eyelids which are interrupting their meditation. This is not meditation by the power of discipline. I have to do this. Rather, it's so spontaneous that they can't stand not doing it. You could be a successful meditator and not really like doing it. You may be focused, but it's your intelligence, it's your obligation, it's your duty, it's your will, it's your determination. And how long can that last? But here, when you describe the gopis' meditation, they hate not to be focused on their object of meditation, and they're cursing anything that's an obstacle. And then the object of their meditation, which is Krishna, which they're seeing after a long separation, and they take the object of meditation into the heart. And they were embracing in their heart their object of meditation. And they become totally absorbed. And the point is, those who practice yoga find this level of absorption very difficult to obtain. Very difficult to obtain. So this is why bhakti
in a nutshell, and I've discussed this many times, why bhakti is the best yoga. Because attraction is the highest absorption, not determination or obligation. So this is incredible feelings of love, incredible feelings of happiness, and it is the exactly what God needs to experience to be complete. To be complete, if God is rasa vai saha, if God is the manifestation of the greatest ecstasy, God to be complete, he has to experience this ecstasy. He has to experience looking and loving himself. And therefore he has to experience the devotee who is loving and looking at God. So, I'm competing with a loudspeaker. That is me. The loudspeaker is the loudspeaker is the salt in the sand, the sand in the sweet rice at Govardhan. I'm gonna put on earplugs, but I'll keep on talking. It is chanting Hare Krishna. So, of course, this is the story of Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan meeting Krishna at the solar eclipse. I've explained that before. Those of you who are just listening for the first time, you can go into the previous lectures on this, which are put in line. And a very important pastime in the Bhagavatam because it is describing the highest type of love and pleasure. The feelings, the deep feelings of union after the feelings of separation. So these sentiments and this love is being described. And it's being described to inspire us to aspire for it. And that's how the process of bhakti works. It's enthusiasm. Prabhupada was very, very careful in how he ran the movement. Although it was corporate in one sense, there had to be some structure of management to socialize the values of the society, to share those values. He wanted enthusiasm. He wanted initiative, because it goes so well with bhakti, fanning the spark of people's inclination to serve. I find myself in such a great responsibility being a spiritual leader, quote, unquote, being a spiritual leader of sorts, to provide means for people to serve. Because that's what's bhakti, that's what brings out bhakti. I often quote what I consider one in Bhakti Sandarbha as a definition of bhakti. It was in the introduction of the edition that I read. But bhakti is best expressed as seva, which is loving responsiveness to the Lord through the faculty of mind, bodies, and words. Loving responsiveness. So there's loving and there's the responsiveness. And the response, that's called seva. Seva is both the love and the response. Krishna knew Shilana, its activities. But its activities based on a love that is felt, the object of that service. So it's loving responsiveness. It's service. So people need service. Inclination is there. Have to have opportunities to express it. It's bhakti sanjayate bhakti. Bhakti causes love. When you express love, the love increases. And the expression of love is called service. Devotional service. It's service with devotion. The intention to please, that's what devotion is. So it's described here. The Supreme Lord approached the gopis in a secluded place as they stood in their ecstatic trance. So this is the culmination of yoga. Being in a trance, an absorption. That's the goal of yoga. I always ask these questions when I speak to yoga students. Have you found what you're looking for? I tell them the answer yes to all three questions. They become qualified to sit on the seat, and I have to sit on the audience. Have you found what you're looking for? And the answer, yes, it could be a material thing. I won the lottery. I found my soulmate. And the second question is it eternal? Because if what you're looking for, have you found what you're looking for? What you're looking for is what your faith is. Faith is your trust in sublimity. If there's real sublimity, and real sublimity is an energy of God that comes into one's heart when one desires to serve God. Real sublimity is an energy. It's part of God's existence. The connection with God is sublimity. It's real. It's eternal. Anyway, have you found what you're looking for? You're not looking for the right thing. All your efforts become useless. What you're doing does not lead to ruchi. Does not lead to a taste for what you are, which is a servant of God. And a taste for the object of your service. And a taste for discussions of that. If it doesn't lead to rati, if it doesn't lead to some attraction, some pleasure, shrama evahi kevalam, certainly, only, exclusively, it's useless. Not connected with that. So I asked them, have you found what you're looking for? And if it's not eternal, you're looking for the wrong thing. Because the attachment to that object, even if somewhat pleasurable, is filled with the duality, the anxiety of losing it, and the moment that you do. Therefore, unless you find an object of sublimity that's eternal, it's hell. If your conception of life is that the end is non-existent, whatever you do is connected to hell. It's if hope is over you. It's if your life is death row, without God, without some sense of eternal connection, you are living on death row. Material existence is simply death row. And therefore, when you understand that, when you get a taste or a glimpse of your eternality, the greatest relief is found. You're saved from the greatest fear. Neha Bhikkhamanasho Si Bhukyavayana Vidyate Swapam Apyasya Dharmasitrayate Mato. A little endeavor in this Krishna consciousness, a little understanding of God, our eternality, our relationship, which goes on beyond this mind and body and present identity, saves you from the greatest type of thing. But then, the third question is, are you always living within? Are you always dwelling with? You're always meditation of that which you are looking for, which is eternal and full of bliss. And that's the whole purpose of yoga. The whole purpose of yoga, whatever yoga it is to get you to the right state always. So, Krishna saw the gopis, they stood in trance. That's the perfection. They were completely absorbed. And then there was his vibhuti shakti, his powerful opulent potency, he expands, embraces each of them, and then begins to speak. Lord Krishna said, my dear girlfriends, do you remember me? It is for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long and intent on destroying my enemies. Explaining why I had to leave, and trying to explain in a way that does not belie his love. He says, I had to protect people. I had to protect people, therefore I left. Well, I hope you still remember me after 96 years. Do you perhaps think I'm ungrateful and thus hold me in contempt? After all, it is the Supreme Lord who brings living beings together and then separates them. Don't think I'm ungrateful. It's God. It was destiny. I had to do this. But it's not me just leaving you. I'm responding to the voice of providence. And that voice of providence, for no fault of the person's own, in this case, sometimes separates one, sometimes brings people together. So I'm not ungrateful. I'm ungrateful. Not every slight we feel is intentional. You may not like the circumstances of people who are separated from us, Krishna's arguing, but how much of that is just destiny? We're pawns in the hands of destiny. Destiny is God. It's God giving us what we deserve. And therefore, when it comes, The only thing we can do is react appropriately to the experience of destiny, even if it's, especially when it's difficult. What we can do is react to the destiny. And respond to it with knowledge and understanding. That's the best we can do. If destiny is so powerful, it's God moving the world, teach us lessons. But you can counteract destiny by responding to it appropriately to learn the lessons that destiny gives. That's the main instruction that Yudhisthira gave to Bhishma Dev. Respond properly. How do you respond properly? Find Dharma. Dharma means appropriate response in your circumstance to the hand that God has dealt us. So we respond according to Dharma. And with the understanding that that destiny is God. So we're bowing our heads. In all circumstances, we're bowing our heads in gratitude. Because we see God. We have that faith from experience. God is a protector, which means God does what is best. And then, of course, the subtleties of the circumstance and how to apply it often takes guidance from people who are conversant in the will and teachings of God. Krishna says, I'm not ungrateful. Destiny parted us. Just as the wind brings together masses of clouds, blades of grass, whips of cotton, and particles of dust, only to scatter them all again. So the Creator deals with His created beings in that way. But the difference between the wind and the will of God is God is doing it intentionally. And He's dealing with us this way. To help us understand we're not the controller, because that conception is the conception, in fact, that has bound us to this material world. That's what makes the soul think it's the body, think that it's temporary, think that it's impure, feels unhappy. That misconception, understanding. So we hear and we practice until we get realization, until we can see the hand of God every circumstance of our life. And if we can't see it, have confidence that it's beneficial. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says, an intelligent person bows his head to destiny again and again. He's seeing God. He responds, first of all, he responds to destiny with gratitude. Thank you. And then you apply the appropriate spiritual principle, whether it's honesty or humility. You bow your head. Thank you. Rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for human life. But by your good fortune, you've developed a special loving attitude towards me, by which you have obtained me. It's okay, I am God, Krishna is saying. So what's a fayette talking about myself? And you're all my parts and parcels. So if you want to transcend matter, you have to find the cause of material existence and reverse it. Well, the cause is this attitude that I want to be the enjoyer and controller. Dear ladies, I am the beginning and end of all created beings and exist both within and without them. This is the elements, earth, water, earth, ether, water, earth, air, and fire are the beginning and end of all material objects. They exist both within and without them. This is also prema. Out of love, desire to serve and surrender to God. The veil of Maya, of illusion, is lifted, especially in the Dham. Okay, I'm going to stop here because I've been up since 1:30 in the morning, and it's already getting towards evening. So, but I'd like to hear from people. Anybody want to ask a question? They're more than welcome.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Yes. Go to Srila Prabhupada.
Who is this?
This is Nanda Dalal.
One second. Who is this?
This is Nanda Dalal, Maharaj.
Can you hear me?
Maharaj, you know, did you meet, you know, Joydasa Maharaj?
Yeah, I will see him. I see him every day. We have a couple of hours of Hari Katha every day. He comes. Should I give him a message?
Well, you know, I wanted to. He gave, you know, Krishna Balaram Mandir in Devipur yesterday a lecture. I wanted to know whether he will be putting that thing in his, you know, because I can connect him. He gave Bhagavatam class.
You want what?
No, he's a Bhagavatam class in Krishna Balaram temple.
You wanted to hear it again?
Right, you know.
Okay. I'll ask him. Okay,
thank you, Mark.
Anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else say hello today?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Gordon Bhaktadas.
Hello, Gordon.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Gail. I love the class today. It was really great.
Like, yeah, every time I think in myself, this wasn't my A game, you somehow always tell me how much you like the class.
I know. I've noticed
anyway.
That, too. That's why I'm privately kind
anyway.
Of always kind of happy when you're being challenged some way.
I'm half sleeping practically, I have to tell you. I've been up since 1:30.
Uh-huh.
I've been up since 1:30 in the morning. I'm
mm-hmm.
getting up early. And I don't remember more than 15 minutes sleep during the day. So a little fatigued in the evening. But anyway, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
That is Bo Maharaj.
Mother Indrani, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you for the class. Maharaj, are you going to be sending any Karthik notes? Lila Krishna?
I can do it.
Huh?
What did you say?
You going to be sending out any Karthik realizations? Realizations here in Karthik.
I can't hear you clearly, so.
Okay,
say one more time.
Are you going to be sending out any Karthik realizations?
I can understand. Maybe
all right.
Okay, thank you.
You said, are you going to be sending out any Karthik realizations?
Yeah, I haven't had, I've listed them. Thank you, Mila and Johnny. I've listed them, and I just haven't had a minute, literally, to actually run them. It's I think my Karthik deca, and people are coming. Tomorrow I go into Vrindavan, but I have them. I will send the Karthik realizations. Thank you for reminding me, but I have written them. I just haven't sent them. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you.
Who is it?
Begavati.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. So nice to hear you from Govardhan.
Yeah, I know how much, you know, you like to die. Yeah, it's nice. We have Vaisheshika Prabhuja, Vaitya Maharaj, myself, Keshav Bharti Maharaj, are just evening discussing, is reading Sriya Bhagavatamrita in the afternoon, and in the morning they go through the 10th canto of Bhagavatam.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Right. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna.
Krishna.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Chanti. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Somebody else?
Hare Bol Maharaj, it's Shastra Das.
Shastra, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Nice crew from Puri. Some 2.0 from New York are coming.
I'm excited.
It's going to be great. Yeah. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bol Maharaj.
Chaitanya Prabhu?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Henry.
Wow. Great. Great. Whenever you say Henry, I'm using your eyes. When you listen to the chat. Anybody else say hello?